Thank you for this grace that abounds to us. Help us now to embrace it in the area of our deepest struggle, in the area of our deepest pain, in that spot of hardness that we've had to what has happened in the past, in that spot of terrifying fear about something that's going to happen in the future, Father, in that spot where we're not reflecting faith, right there we're saying, poor grace, teach us your truth, answer questions of heart today, and raise us up to walk with you in faith, that you might receive great glory, and we might walk in abundant joy. Amen. You may be seated. The weaving. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Nor till the loom is silent and shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. By Annie Flint. Annie Flint was someone who had knew a great deal of agony in life. Lost her mother at a young age. Lost her father through the next relationship with another mother. Then adopted by another family. Before she was 25, she was confined to a bed with arthritis for the rest of her life. She writes some of the most beautiful poems. Out of agony. Friends, there is a grace that is sufficient for you. We wrestle in this life because things don't go the way we want. But God has promises, and He's a faithful promiser. And when you recognize in your time of trouble the promise of God and respond to it, you experience grace. You experience victory. So I want to talk about experiencing that grace in the hard times today. If you want to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 10, finding grace sufficient. Sometimes when we look at saints of old, we don't see clearly. People say hindsight is 20/20. I say it's not so. You've heard some of those stories from friends of yours, and you know their hindsight's not 20/20. I mean, just talk to a fisherman and you know hindsight's not 20/20. We don't always see things the way they really were. We don't see things as they really are. And yet, there is something to understand about the work of God for us and in us in hardship that will introduce Jesus to you in a way like no other. And Paul had experienced great blessing and great pain. And so he says here in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, he's just talked about this vision he's had that took him into the heavens. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with my weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. I don't know about you, but I'm here to say sometimes when I'm weak, I'm weak. Sometimes when I am very weak, I don't move into His strength. It's there for me, but I don't always walk into what God has for me. And so today I want to talk to you about this idea of the sufficiency of His grace, because just because His grace is sufficient does not mean you're experiencing the sufficiency of His grace. There has to be a drawing upon His resources for you to walk it out. And Paul talks about this issue here where he goes from glory, this marvelous vision of God and heaven, to agony, where he literally says, I'm being tormented, and the term is buffeted, like Jesus was beaten. The same term. Friends, you and I are in a war. It's a war. There's a battle for your soul. There's a battle for your peace. There's a battle for the victory. And when we encounter suffering, it tests us. And it can be physical, but emotional suffering is just as severe. And it can be spiritual. It can be dark nights of the soul in the broad daylight of the sun, if you know what I'm talking about. Where there is that which attacks your heart and your mind, and it is difficult to walk it out. He says here, interestingly enough, he says, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Given. This is a perspective issue, friends. But God has a plan for our life. And allow me to encourage you, pain is a part of it. All right? Let's be real here. Let's not come and say, hey, you know, if you'll just turn it over to Jesus, everything just floats, it's all cream and honey. No, it's trials and hardships and betrayals and agony and disease and loss. That is a part of this life, because this is not heaven and you are not yet home. Amen. But heaven's coming. And when you live in this life for the next life, you can experience God's grace. So he says here, talking about this plan of God, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Paul knew why it was there. Most of us think, you know, if I know why you're doing what you're doing, then I've passed the test, let's move on. Isn't that right? You ever had those conversations with God? Okay, God, I get it. I got it. He says, I implored the Lord three times. He knew exactly what was going on. He says, I implored the Lord three times. Is take it away. God didn't. Friends, pain attacks pride. It does. It's hard to be proud when you're hurting. And yet it promotes, it invites humility. It gives you that chance to realize, I'm not as tough as I thought I was. I'm not as strong as I might think I am. And we can discover that in one skipped heartbeat, can't we? It doesn't take too many nights of lost sleep to realize this body is a frail little body and it doesn't hold up very well without everything going just so. And so there is a purpose, all right? And saying pain comes into your life and it pushes your buttons. And it's how you respond to that pain. See, because there's a purpose. So how are you going to respond to it? So in your life right now, as we talk about this, in case your mind hasn't already identified that, please identify some of those areas in your life. You're going, okay, I hear you. Now go ahead, get to the point about what I'm supposed to do. But you know what we're talking about. You know what I mean? In your own life, there's an issue that's been plaguing you. There's an issue that's been hurting you. There's an issue that you've been struggling with. This truth today is for that. Okay? So let's look at it. So he says, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Now this is interesting. This is a spiritual battle. The evil one's coming in to keep me from exalting myself. Now that's God's plan. That's not Satan's plan. Satan would be more than happy to have you exalt yourself. Isn't that right? Because pride goes before a fall. And because God is opposed to the proud. So that's not this messenger for Satan. He's coming into what? He's trying to do something else in Paul's life with the thorn. See, he's trying to push him down. God's trying to what? Build him up. You understand? There's a battle for your soul just like there was for Job's. God's betting on you. Give him glory. So listen, suffering is sent to strengthen us in God's grace by humbling us. That's why it's here for. It's sent to strengthen us in God's grace by humbling us. And as soon as you say by humbling, hey, that's not strengthening, man. I want to be able to stand up and be proud and be strong. No, it's humble is a place of strength because that's the place where God can work in you. Pain and problems remind us about this other problem we have. I have it. Do you have it? I have a tendency towards self-exaltation. That was interesting. I was on my website and somebody else's link, you know, is on the website. Or not the website, but Facebook. And I went, who's that? And I went to look who it was, and it was very interesting. On this other person's site, every single picture for pages were selfies. Every picture. There wasn't nothing else on the person's site but selfies. I went, don't really know this person, but I do know something about this person. Does it say anything about our culture that you guys all understand what a selfie is now? And this whole preoccupation with self. And yet God says, that's not the plan of the Savior. I want to deal with that. So how does he deal with that? He brings in pain. So suffering sent to strengthen us in God's grace by humbling us. And so you have to recognize, all right, recognize the plan of God in your life. Otherwise, you might find yourself fighting it. See, Paul says, I know what God's doing. I see what he's doing. He's humbling me. All right? Because pain gives you an opportunity to do what? To look up. To look up and say, okay, God. Because here's the funny thing, or maybe it's not so funny, but it's the truth. God's committed to keeping you humble. Because you asked him to, isn't that right? You asked him to bless you. You asked him to grace you. You asked him to keep him faithful to you. Haven't you prayed those kind of things? But then he knows the only way you're going to stay there is if you stay humble. That's why the Bible says we're supposed to choose humility. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So that's something I have to pursue. But he says, he's committed to it. The question I have to keep asking myself is, hey, James, how committed are you to that? Are you willing to let God humble you? Because The humble stuff that comes in just never seems very pleasant to me. It's never very attractive. It's not, oh, that's a nice idea. It's like, no, I don't think I like this God. And then we start editing God, isn't that right? You know, you could. Here's an idea that, I know you guys don't do that, but hey, suffering is sent into your life to strengthen you in God's grace by humbling you. And so one of those key issues is when that comes, are you a prayer? Not a whiner, a prayer. Are you pouring that back to God? You see, our response to pain can deform you or transform you. I have met some very bitter people where the pain that came into their life just made them bricks. You know some, don't you? They're just hard, angry folks or withdrawn, beaten folks. And yet some people you meet and you hear their story and you're like, how come you're still standing? How come you're still praising? How come you're... And you recognize grace is flowing in this person's life. Because they've responded. They recognize and they've responded. And so he's over here saying, Lord, I begged God, take this away from me. That's usually what we want, is what? Escape. Take it away. You've prayed that about temptations. You've prayed that about problems. You've prayed that about some relatives. Okay. Take this person out of my life. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And yet God's plan is not escape, because God's building you up. His plan is endurance. See? It's endurance. And so problems can make you hard, or they can make you humble. So what's your plan? Are you walking this out with God? All right? He says Satan came to do this. It's really weird, but Satan is given permission. We see that in the book of Job's amazing story. Satan given permission to test believers who are doing everything right. Okay? Now most of us can't qualify, but it's kind of cool that God picked one. He says this guy is doing it right, and then lets him suffer, because most of us think that our suffering is coming because I screwed something up. I messed up in some way. Not always the case, friends. Sometimes it's because he says, I want you stronger. Listen. Look what he says here in that ninth verse. So he said three times, and I get the feeling that honestly, this is just James's idea, but that he had this answer three times. That every time he asked, he got the answer. So after the third time, he went, oh, okay. I get it. I mean, that's how slow I am sometimes. So he said to me, do you hear the personalness of that? He said to me. It's not, God said this is what the truth is. No. God spoke. Friends, when you're in pain, when you're in a process, when you're in a difficult spot, I'm here to tell you there is a God who can communicate personally and directly with you there. You'll listen to him. He speaks. He speaks from the Word and through the Word, but that Word can be spoken out by His Spirit to you in very intimate and personal ways. And Paul hears it very specifically. My grace is sufficient for you. He said, will you please take this away? And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what he says. He says what? I'm saying take this away. God says I'm going to sustain you. My grace is sufficient for you. That's a key point. It's not your ability. It's his ability. Take this away. Why? So I can handle it. No. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And if he can say that, then the truth is this. It's what? That God's grace is sufficient for you as well. Whatever's written here, written for our instruction. In fact, the way this is structured in the original language is actually is sufficient my grace is to you. The emphasis is on the sufficiency, the adequacy, the complete provision. Because our tendency is to say, it's not quite enough. And so we'll still wrestle. If you're struggling, when you're wrestling, you're not in victory yet. You're moving that direction, but you're not in victory yet. It's when I have peace in the midst of affliction that I begin to know He's at work. See, what God wants is not removal. He wants revival. He wants to transform your heart, and He uses pain to do it. So we pray for the lighter load. What's God's plan? Stronger back. So look at that. Think that through. See, that's part of that recognizing what God's up to. All right? No believer, loved of God, can expect to escape trouble in this life. Not going to happen. Why? Why, God? Look at this. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Power is perfected in weakness. There's something that God can accomplish when you're a weak person that He can't accomplish when you're a strong person. Power is perfected. So divine ability is going to find its fullest expression where? In human limitation. We don't want to have limits in our life. But God says, no, I've designed you with a limit. All right? And so the more I need God, the greater glory that God gets. Because it shows how gracious He is. It shows how good He is. It shows how faithful He is in my life. And so He wants to show that in where? Every situation. What we want to do is kind of like be a show horse. You know, we want to show off at a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain way, and look good. And God says, oh, no, 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 no. When you're at your worst, when you're at your weakest, now we're talking. Now we're going to get somewhere. Because now, if you make the choice of faith, now we'll know this is me in you, because you wouldn't act like that. Some of you know what I'm talking about? That's His choice in you. And so this is a key thought here, friends. Is that God's grace is sufficient for you. How? To display Christ in every and any circumstance. We want it sufficient for me to feel good all the time. I want it to be sufficient for me to do what I want to do. No, no, it's to display Christ. It's sufficient to give you the ability to respond in a Christ-like way to any and every situation you come up against. That's His sufficiency. When I lack strength, God's strength is recognized if I stay strong. Does that make sense? It shows up in power. All right? He says, most gladly. Wait a minute. You know, there's not everything that's in the Bible that excites me. Okay? Because there's a lot of it that convicts me. Does it feel that way to you sometimes? He says, most gladly. I am ecstatic about this. Yeah, right. No, that's where He's moved to. That's not where He started. Remember where He started was, take it away, God. See, He's told us that already. He says, that's where He started. So this is a real man. And yet He says, I moved to the point where I said, yeah, this is God's glory. This is good. He says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So that I can bring a full expression of God out of my life in the pain, in the disappointment, in the betrayal, in the loss, in the agony of disease, whatever it is. Why? so that. Do you hear that purpose statement? This is what this is for. We had one over here, remember? I was given this thorn so that I'd keep me from exalting myself. That's a purpose statement. Over here, he says, now I'm weak so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, many of you here as believers, you've been praying, God, just give me your power. I just want to walk with power. Some of you pray that? This is what I want to do. I want to experience the power of God. Good! Welcome to the path to weakness. That's the only way it's going to come. See, remember, this is all the Bible's full of these paradoxes. The way you're strong is by being weak. It abides in all who by faith trust Him in every situation. Sufficient grace means I respond differently in my circumstances. This is about responding. Okay? The first step we were talking about was about recognizing. Now we're talking about responding. When you recognize what God's up to, the next choice, this is your faith choice, this is where the power connection happens. This is where you plug in. It's how I respond. It's what has He told me to do when I'm in agony? What has He told me to do when I'm in pain? What has He told me to do when I'm afraid? And some of you will beat yourselves up because you are afraid, but the book says, David said, the man after God's own heart says, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Somebody say, oh, you should never be afraid. Hogwash! There's things you ought to be afraid of, but then you bring that fear back to God and say, my God's sufficient. See, it doesn't mean you're not there. You don't stay there. Am I making any sense? So don't stay there. Say, I'm going to walk this out with God. Notice what he goes into now. Because he just, you know, he's talking in this general way. He gets a little more specific. Verse 10, therefore, I am, once again, well content. Well content means I have peace and satisfaction with what? Weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Where's your battle? He's got a pretty good list there. Could you find your battle in one of those spots? Some of you got some people that are so insulting in your life, it cuts you to the quick. God's grace is sufficient for that. See? Some of you are watching your body fade, and it's so frustrating because you used to be able to do what you used to be able to do, and you know you aren't never going back there. That's frustrating, isn't it? It's humbling to get older. Persecutions. Some of you got family members, as soon as you bring up Jesus, they start spitting. Oh no, they may not spit physically at you, but they spit words at you. They spit insults at you. They say things. They do things. With difficulties. That kind of covers a lot, doesn't it? I'm not sure what difficulties are. And I think you understand that. There's difficulties. All of those situations, he says, I am, what? Well content. For Christ's sake. See, the question is his grace being expressed by your response in that place, the difficulty, the insult, the persecution, the weakness place? Are you with me still? Is his grace being expressed with contentment? I find sometimes I'm not a very contented man. Some of you, all you have to do is have somebody slow down in front of you. Or just move their car in front of you, and you are no longer contented. Somebody else is in control of your world if you can't handle the fact that somebody else drives different than you do. But can I live in a way that wherever I am, my response back to Him is what? Rejoicing. Remember? Rejoice usually. Is that anybody's Bible? Have you seen that? I ain't seen that. Philippians 4:4, it says rejoice always. God is so ridiculous. Have you ever noticed that? Always. See, because that's difficult. That's the impossible. And in that spot, now you draw on grace. You say, okay, God, come show this up in my situation right here. When I'm dealing with my parents and I'm dealing with my sister, would you? My response reveals my source. What's he say? He says, for Christ's sake. You see, because I have all I need. I have all I need. How? I have Christ. Then I have all I need, because in Christ is all the fullness of God. It's there. Am I drawing upon it to live it out in the difficult circumstances that I am? See, for Christ to receive the glory, stay with me, I must do more than just endure. I must exalt. That's what he said over there in Romans 5. I haven't moved you guys around at all today. Romans 5, he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we've got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and exult in the hope of the glory of God. Oh yeah, everybody's happy about the glory, the pie in the sky that's coming by and by. We're all excited about that. But what does he say next? And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance proving character hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. You understand that's what I'm talking about here this morning? What I'm talking about is that you're going to have this connection with the Spirit of God, that when you begin to pray in your pain points, in your insult points, and you're saying, God, I want to respond to you, that's when the Spirit begins to flow. When you say yes, He says yes, and the power connection happens in your life by the Holy Spirit. He's the power. When you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. He says, I'm well content. That doesn't mean you wouldn't prefer something different. Okay? You still got a flesh. You prefer something different. But you embrace God's plan for now. There's a lot of disgruntled Christians who aren't giving God glory for the difficulty they're going through. And God just says, okay, guess I'll go a little longer. I mean, hey, God's patient. Look at the children of Israel. Oh, let's take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. 40 years of lapping, okay? God seems to have all the time in the world. I think He does. We're the ones in a hurry. So God's willing to let you go as long as you want on this lesson, but let's go after it with God. He says, I'm content. See, weakness becomes strength when I choose contentment in Christ. When I say, this is where I'm going to be satisfied. Yes, my flesh would like 4 more pieces of dessert. I'm going to say no. You know, I always think that's funny. I mean, my wife asked me, hey, would you like something else more this morning? And I just got to be honest, say, yes, I would. But I'm not going to have any more. My flesh always wants more, doesn't yours? My flesh is always hungry for something. But I have to cultivate a contentment that says He is sufficient for me. Because He is. And so weakness becomes strength when I choose contentment. Right? So it says, with I'm content with the weakness, with the insult, with the distresses, with the persecutions, with the difficulties, for Christ's sake. I contentment comes because it's about Christ. And I say, if this will bring you glory, then this is what I'll do. Isn't that what Christ taught us in Gethsemane? He says, Father, let's change the plan. Take this cup away. Isn't that what Jesus said? Take this cup away. I don't like this. But how did he display his contentment? Not my will. Yours. Yours be done. So wherever you've been pained, wherever you've been insulted, wherever you're in distress, wherever you're in persecution, in that place, I want to invite you into thankfulness. In that place, I want to invite you into praise. In that place, I want to invite you into trust and say, I will believe you here for your glory because I know you're good. I've lived long enough, haven't you? I've lived long enough to know that there will be a day when I will know that he is good and he was meaning good in that which I went through. So I may not know it now, but I will know it. And God gave us all these stories so you would know through the stories of guys like Joseph, through the stories of guys like Job, through the stories of guys like Daniel, that God is going to come through for you in your weakness if you will be in weakness for the sake of Christ. That's his plan. Suffering is challenging, though. Sometimes you feel like you're going to drown. Water's an interesting thing. You ever notice that? I like to swim. You get in water, you could drown. And the very thing that could drown you can also sustain you. Isn't that interesting? When I was overseas in Japan, back in the 70s, I took a swim one day out. I think it was the Inland Sea. And it was amazing because you don't swim long off the coast of Oregon in the ocean. But this was warm. I was in it for hours. And so I just took this swim and I got out quite a ways from shore. It was very calm. And I turned around to see how far I was because I was in this harbor and I just kept going farther and farther out. And the harbor kept getting wider and wider. So I was a long ways out. And I turned around and my translator, unbeknownst to me, had swam behind me. And she couldn't swim very good. We're more than a half mile from shore. And I turn around and swim back. I'm tired. That's what I was trying to do. You know, get a workout. A little cardiovascular going on. And I get back to where she was swimming. And she's not swimming. She's struggling. And she's in trouble. And I'm trying to teach swimming way over my head. Are you with me? And what I had to teach her to do is you need to trust right here. You have to trust me. You're going to have to believe me. You can lay flat on your back and you're going to float. But the panic that was going on inside of her was she was going to drown. And that's where some of you are. You're afraid you're going to drown. And I'm here to say if you'll get on your back and look up, that you're going to float. You're going to have to rest in him and he will sustain you. And as you rest in him, he will give you the strength. He will show you the move that you're supposed to make because there's a move you can make that'll keep you on top of the water. You won't be under your circumstances. You'll be above your circumstances because you'll find his grace is sufficient for you. You can swim in the very thing that'll drown you if you keep your eyes on the Savior. Be strong in the Lord, it says in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I'm not saying what you're in couldn't drown you. It could drown you. But if you'll stay on top of it with Him, you'll walk it out with Him. You'll swim it out with Him. When you're weak, you'll become strong. Because God's power is fully displayed in what? In the weakness of dependent people. God's power is fully displayed in the weakness of dependent. See, just because you're a Christian and you're in a hard time doesn't mean God's power is going to be displayed. There's lots of stories in the book where people blow it. But it says, in that place, you can be a dependent person, a person who says, I'm weak, you're strong, do this in my family, do this in my workplace, do this in my body for your glory. See, my response of prayerful dependence, gratitude, actual worship for the agony that He is putting me through. I got a God that's big enough. I can't say He's not the one that has a hand in some of this. That I will worship You. Though You slay me, yet I will praise You. Choose praise, not panic. Worship even in the pain. Paul said at the beginning of this book, great statement. He talks about we were burdened beyond hope. Burden beyond that. We despaired even of life, that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Some of you are feeling dead this morning. I'm here to tell you, I've got a God that can raise the dead. That's enough. It's enough. There's nothing you're up against that my God can't handle if you'll handle it with Him. If you'll hand it over to Him. If you'll walk it out with Him. Friends, by grace, you are saved through faith. Isn't that the truth? By grace, you are saved through faith. Friends, that's what gets you into the kingdom. That's what keeps you walking with the King. By grace, you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Read this with me. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, not a result of your energy, not a result of your effort, not a result of your strength. You will never earn your way into the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm just messing up my life, I need to be saved, then you call on the one who will save you. See, the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I just call out and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Save me now. And He answers that. Because that's weakness calling on strength. But friends, that same principle, saved by grace through faith, is for you every day after you're saved. It's the same principle. The gospel is what keeps you saved. It's what gets you saved. It's what's going to fulfill your destiny on the day you step into heaven and say, grace took me all the way. And so God's power is perfectly revealed in my weakness when I embrace contentment. How do you embrace it? I've just used two words today. I know, a couple more than it seems like, but just two words. Recognize and respond. What's He doing? How am I going to do it? Recognize it, respond to it. Friends, He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. The added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. His grace is sufficient for you. Father, thank you for this all-sufficient grace. Thank you for this all-sufficient power. Thank you for an all-sufficient Savior. We come to you this morning saying, we are weak. We don't even know how weak we are because we're too proud to admit that we're blowing it more. People around us can see that we're blowing it. We can't even see it ourselves. Father, I'm praying for the marriages that are falling apart. Some of them that have never come together. God, we need sovereign, supernatural intervention of breakthrough. Praying for parents whose hearts have been broken, some waiting for decades for that child to turn again. God, pour grace into that situation. Father, we know this life has disease, and I pray for those here wrestling with their own or their relatives' great pain and agony. We bring that before you. You are Jehovah Rapha. You can heal. We ask for that. Yet we know your grace is sufficient whatever you do. And so this morning we agree with you. It is sufficient. We will praise you. We will obey you. We will say thank you. Even through our tears. Because you're awesome. You're mighty. You're strong. You're God. And you're good. Thank you for it. Amen.